Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. It's good to meet you this week for Intelligent Christian Conversation, and there sure is a lot to talk about. This is one of those weeks that is beginning with a flurry of news, cultural developments, and all kinds of things, not only here domestically, but around the world. And, of course, a lot of what has been the focus of attention today is what went on with the rescue of a hostage to pirates, so with the intervention of the United States military, in this particular instance, the intervention by U.S. Navy SEALs, snipers who completely transformed the situation and rescued the ship's captain that had been taken as hostage to Somali pirates. It's a very fascinating story. It's another reminder to us of so many of the things we know about the world. It is a dangerous place. What we are witnessing right now in the early 21st century is a renaissance of piracy. And piracy, by definition, indicates a culture of increasing lawlessness. There's a lot to talk about there. That's not going to be the topic for our conversation today, but it's another one of those reminders that being there with the man that is needed at the time, who is ready and is energized for action, is one of the things that is so necessary in this world. You take those Navy SEALs out of the equation, and you have a very different outcome there in the Indian Ocean. So why do I say that? I say that because tonight I have a very interesting responsibility. My responsibility tonight is to talk to a group of younger Christian men. And I'm going to be talking to them about manhood. And that is one of those topics that there just isn't enough conversation about in Christian circles. Now, I know what I intend to say tonight. But, you know, I thought it would be a fascinating conversation with you. I want to invite you to tell me and to tell my listening audience what you would want to say to a group of younger Christian men about manhood in this particular time. You know, I think this is one of the biggest challenges facing the church in our times, is the eclipse of manhood and the confusion about manhood. And unfortunately, a lot of that confusion is found lower in the age range. And we are now inheriting what we have sown. They are the victims as young men of what they did not receive from a previous generation, from fathers, from uncles, grandfathers, from the men of the church. And what we are facing now is the need for a recovery operation. That's not true for every single individual. There are a lot of young men out there who really received exactly what they needed from dad and from the entire context of manhood around them, but there are others who are really confused. So give me a call today. I really want to know what you're thinking about this. I hear from a lot of people, both men and women, who say, you know, I really wish our young men today knew this, did that, aspired to the other. Give me a call, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We're looking at a phenomenon of extended adolescence. We're looking at a phenomenon of delayed adulthood, delayed marriage, delayed responsibility. We're going to be talking today about what that means. And I'm going to turn the tables and say, let's give you the opportunity to talk to these young men. And I'll have the opportunity to share with them what you have to say. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. You can also communicate with us by Twitter. Just follow Mohler Radio at Facebook, the Albert Mohler Program. You can always write us by email, mail@thealbertmohlerprogram.com. You know, it is interesting, isn't it, that now, all of a sudden, email sounds like an old technology. With all the social media, and in particular with the social media of Facebook and MySpace and Twitter and all the rest, now email seems positively, well, geriatric. But we're still in it, aren't we? And so we'll be glad to hear from you by any means. Email, phone call especially, because my first intention today is to see how much of this we can get on the air to share with each other. Phone number 877-893-8255. There is a lot going on out there. At my website at albertmohler.com, I published an article on Friday asking the question, is same-sex marriage inevitable? And I was asked that question by Time Magazine, and as a matter of fact, I link in this article to the Time Magazine article that cites me, and I'm very honest. I say to Time Magazine, I don't know that it's inevitable, but with what's going on in Vermont and Iowa and elsewhere, we certainly have the sense that the ground is moving under our feet. And I'm not willing to just hang up my hat and say, let's forget about trying to make a difference on this issue. I'm not saying that it is morally inevitable, but we certainly can sense something of a change in the cultural direction. You'll find that article at albertmiller.com. You'll find another article I posted this morning, and this one I think is really important to have to share with you. I think this is one of those articles that ought to have the Christian attention. Today in USA Today and every Monday, the paper features an On Religion column. This particular On Religion column published today is by Tom Krautenmacher, who is a Portland, Oregon-based member of USA Today's Board of Contributors. And in his article, it's entitled Fightin' Words, Mr. Krautenmacher levels a broadside attack on the unity, inspiration, and veracity of the Bible. Now, we're going to be talking about this tomorrow, so I'm going to make my comments today very brief. Let me just say that what you have here is the most reckless and frankly, careless attack upon the Bible. And I answer it more or less point by point in the article you can find at my website at albertmiller.com today. We're going to talk about it tomorrow. We would talk about it today, but for the fact I have this responsibility tonight, I want to share with you. And because I want to give more of you an opportunity to read the article and to kind of digest what it's about before we come to have that conversation tomorrow. You'll find that article entitled Fighting Words About the Bible, that's a question mark, published today at my website at albertmiller.com. Again, let me just tell you, it's reckless. It will infuriate you, and rightly so. And by the way, USA Today says that it wants this particular column to be a part of illuminating the national discussion. Let me tell you, you'll be illuminated when you read this. But as I point out in my article, you're not illuminated about the Bible at all. You are illuminated and receive illumination about the bias of the man who wrote the article. It tells you more about Tom Krautenmacher than about the Bible. The Courier-Journal here in Louisville, Kentucky, has a fascinating article from the Associated Press today, and as I looked at it, it's just one of those articles that, I'll be honest, I was shocked to see in the newspaper. I was shocked to see this kind of candor, this kind of honesty, and yet I have to tell you, when you read it, your heart's really going to go out to the mothers who are involved here. Here's the headline. The headline by Jocelyn Novick is Laid Off Moms Learn What They've Been Missing. Here's the sum and substance. The sum and substance of this article is that you have moms who've been laid off. In this economic time of downturn, recession, whatever you want to call it, there are moms who had jobs, they have been working, and now they're home. Let me just read to you. Jocelyn Novick writes, "For many of these women, unemployment has no doubt been terrifying. But for some, particularly those who have the financial resources to ride out the storm, it has been a precious opportunity to get to know their children a little better." I'm just going to read to you from this article. I think it's going to touch your heart. Mary Quinn, a 48-year-old mother from Greenwich, was laid off in December after 18 years at a Manhattan investment company. But a severance package has brought her some new time to find a new position. After years in which her husband was the main caregiver, she is finding time off with her children to be an unexpected blessing. Now listen very carefully to this. She is savoring small pleasures, such as picking up her 11-year-old daughter Paulina from school or trying out new recipes with Isabel, age 17. As a mom, it's amazing, says Quinn, a former vice president and portfolio administrator at Oppenheimer Capital LLC. She notes with delight how, for the first time, she is the one who gets to hear the day-to-day tales, the school day tales that Paulina comes home with. Quote, I'm getting the stories directly from her now, not secondhand from my husband like before. I used to be so envious. Well, this is a complicated picture, no doubt. And there are families where just to put bread on the table, both spouses, both parents have to work. But in too many cases, what we have here is the kind of financial ratcheting up of expectation in a consumerist culture that has led moms and dads to neglect family. And in particular, it's taken so many moms out of the home. And without apology, I want to tell you, I believe that moms have a particular God-ordained role and gift and function that is so central in bringing cohesiveness and wholeness and health to the domestic picture of the family, and especially to children, that I find it always a loss when moms are out of the household like this. And my heart goes out to these moms who, having been laid off, found themselves not making a decision, but nonetheless having that decision made by others. They're in a home. And this is a very touching article. I think there are a lot of feminists out there who will probably not like this article because of the sentimentality in it. But that's what this is all about. That's what makes this such a heart-touching kind of article. Jessica Polsky, a career counselor at New York's Metropolitan Council on Jewish Poverty, said, quote, I can't say I've seen any mothers who are being laid off as a positive thing. But nonetheless, you do have moms who are saying, I think it's positive in the sense that I get to do. Well, here is Shelley Zeke. Two children, Elizabeth, who's 12, and Martin, who's 19. She says, before, I felt like a manager or director of a family. Now I get to do the mom things, making the lunches, taking my daughter to school. It's been fabulous. Another mother said, well, I just felt kind of lost without a job. Everyone talks about the mommy wars, and you always have that question as a mother. Is the grass greener? On the other side, for me, the question was answered. That's one mom who says, I'd rather be at work than at home. This is not a unanimous voice, but it's an overwhelming voice. And I think it really says something. Here's a mom who doesn't say, I have to work. Here's the moral insight that comes from a mom who says, I tried that. I really didn't like it. I'd rather be at work. Told you a lot about where we are in this culture today. That's about women. What about young men? What would you say to this generation of young Christian men? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. We'll be right back with your calls.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. You know, even the sociologists, educators, just about everyone is noticing that something's going on with young males, especially between the ages of, say, 15 and 30. Something is going on. Well, maybe the first thing we notice is something that's not going on. Or what we have is a delay of marriage. If you get to the mid-20s, if you roll back time just 20 years, the vast majority of those young men would have been married. Now it's no longer the case. And by the way, this is an interesting point that was brought to my attention in the last few days. If you go back 20 years or just a little bit more than that, and you say that even more than half of those young men, far more than half, were married, an incredible number of those who were not yet married were actively deployed in the military or in other endeavors that would have complicated getting married. That's no longer the case. So whereas you would think that now an even greater percentage of younger men would be married, the reality is it's far smaller. It's so small, as a matter of fact, that the average age for a first marriage of a young man in America right now is about 28 and going higher. So that's a full 10 years over where it was, at least as a very near horizon issue, just a half century ago. We're looking at a redefinition of manhood. We're also looking at what is called the boy culture. And it's young men. I mean, they are physically men. They are in every way ready to be men, but they're still living in a boy culture. They live in the equivalent of an ongoing frat house, many of them. Or they live in a boy culture in their own home. They go back to live with mom and dad. And what they're not doing is getting married. What they're not doing is having children. What they're not doing is entering the world of men. And there are probably many reasons for that. Again, I think the most important reason as a social change is the fact that we have so many men, younger men and boys, who really do not have active fathers, and they really don't have many examples of Christian manhood. And by the way, we live in a society that used to have structural requirements to move into manhood. In other words, it wasn't that young man necessarily decided, you know, I'm going to actually grow up, take responsibility. It got thrown on him. It landed on him. Whether he was drafted and ended up in the military or in other contexts, it just went that way. Not now. And so we really face a challenge. And I face a challenge tonight. I'm going to be meeting with an outstanding group of young Christian men. And I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to have a conversation with them. And I get an opportunity to speak to them. And I'm really looking forward to it, because I know who they are already in terms of what their commitments are and all the rest. And that makes me really, really encouraged. But I'm really thinking about, even though I know what I'm going to say, and by the way, what I'm going to say is based upon my book, From Boy to Man, a booklet that is available online, and you can find that on my website. I'd really like to know, and I'd like to be able to share with them what you think. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We have had an avalanche of calls and messages on Twitter and Facebook and just about everywhere else. We'll share as much as possible, but the calls are going to get priority. So let me go to Tarpon Springs, Florida. Steve's listening on WTBN. What are you thinking, Steve?
Hi, how are you, Albert?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to hear from you. What would you say?
Thank you for taking my call. I would talk to them on a word that I mentor kids around that same age, men, actually. And I always speak around the term integrity, and it's a three-legged component of integrity. There is purpose, that is who I am in this world, what is my mission in this planet Earth. The second leg is principles, what do I stand for? And the third leg is the intentions, what am I up to? Just be my thought to you.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, Steve. And by the way, the word integrity, in its etymological, rootage and meaning, means that everything gets tied together the same way. These are all necessary parts that are tied together. Integrity is seen as lacking when someone has the wrong principles or someone had the wrong intentions, as you say. And so there's a lot to what you have to say there. I think that's a very important word. And, Steve, I think we let ourselves off too easily by using the word without any content. And I think you've given some very good content to the word. I think the one other word that has to go with that to flesh it out is character, which is certainly covered in terms of what you talk about as principles, but gets to the fact that there is not only the necessity of knowing the principles, even of claiming and championing the principles, but loving them and bringing them into the interior of the life. Thanks so much for your call. It's great to hear from Tarpon Springs, Florida. Let's go to Salina, Utah. Dale's listening on XM 170. Go ahead, Dale.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Albert. You know, what we're lacking today is real men. Real men stand up for what's right and what's wrong. Real men don't walk around looking like a wounded gazelle, afraid to offend anybody and be politically correct. We need to stand up and be men for what's right and what's wrong.
You know, I like, Dale, when you talk about standing up and not withdrawing, not being found absent, you know, AWOL in terms of where the action is and where men can make a difference. I have to tell you, there are a couple of things that are echoed in messages received here on Twitter. Dale, I think you'll appreciate this. They're really coming back on the same point. A mom wrote in to say, don't be a girly man. And as much as you look at that, you say, yeah, I understand how that fits in the culture. You know, the reality is that what is covered, I think, in terms of a mom's warning that way, is the fact that women, and that includes moms, and that includes moms of daughters, will look for a young man to be a man. And I think that's just really, really important to show up as a man. We also had one, Bill wrote in and said, I would challenge these young men to stop being passive, stop sitting on the sidelines. And that, again, is another one of the things I point out in my book, From Boy to Man, that the essence of manhood is in action and responsibility. It's not just theoretical. It requires absolute commitment to Christian truth as a Christian young man to be understanding what it means to apply that. But it actually is found in action. And men are defined historically in terms of action. It's what they do, the responsibilities that men fulfill. Great points. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Chicago, Illinois. Dante's also listening on XM 170. Go ahead, Dante.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Moeller. I would highly recommend that in the process of talking to these men, you talk to them about finding mentors and to also encourage those spiritual leaders and those champions that do understand the character and the integrity, and to give back and to teach these young men what is correct and what they need to do, both in principles of prayer and scripture, and to teach them by the word to get off the milk and to get on to meat, what needs to be done in today's culture.
All right, you're singing my song, Dante. I really appreciate that. And, you know, even as you speak to younger men and say you need to be looking for a mentor, you need to be carefully choosing those who can mentor you in faithful and helpful ways, I got to speak to the older guys and say you are not there just for nothing. And I need to speak to an awful lot of dads right now, and you've raised kids, perhaps both daughters and sons. You've done that, and you're on the other side of that, and you think you've now graduated from that, and someone else can do the heavy lifting with these young guys. Let me tell you, an awful lot of these young guys don't have dads, or they don't have Christian dads, or they don't have dads that show up to be the dad. And one of the biggest needs we have in the church right now is for men to be ready to help younger men. And I would take that all the way down to especially teenage boys. Just be ready to help. Be ready to clarify. Be ready to assist. Be ready to mentor. Be ready to model. Dante, I really appreciate that call. It goes both ways. It is a responsibility that is borne by both younger men and older men. And there is a clear New Testament pattern that older men are to take responsibility for younger men. Now, it's always interesting to see how that happens. You know, Paul writes to Timothy and says, let no man despise your youth. Timothy was obviously a younger man. He was given the responsibility to preach and teach the word of God, to guard the treasure. But he was told to be respectful of older men. But the word also comes to older men. You know, for one thing, the word comes to men who are husbands and fathers. He who will not provide for his own household, Paul says he's worse than an unbeliever. You see, it's a gospel issue when men who are Christian men fail to fulfill all the responsibilities of manhood. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893. It's all we got a lot coming in. I want to hear from you. Let me know what you're thinking about what you would say to a group of Christian young men if you had the opportunity just tonight. 877-893-8255 is the number. Right back with your calls.
listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. We're talking about what to say to a group of young Christian men, understanding all the challenges they face, understanding the particularities of this generation, understanding the need of the hour. What would you say? I have that opportunity tonight. I'm looking forward to it. And by the way, in fitting with the schedule of younger men, this is one of the latest speaking engagements I have. I think we start at about 9:30 and go from there. It's going to be a good discussion. I'm really looking forward to it. The phone number for you to join the discussion and to offer what you would say, had you the opportunity, is 877-893-8255. We've obviously hit a nerve. And we've got calls coming in from everywhere, and I am being brought a constant delivery now of printouts of messages that we've received by email, Twitter, Facebook, and all the rest. It's great to hear from you. Again, the phone number is 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky. Bethany's listening on WFIA. Bethany, what are you thinking?
Dr. Mohler, thanks for taking my call. I would say get rid of the video games. In college, I was amazed at how many men my age were just very preoccupied with that. And now being married, and just seeing some of my adult acquaintances and even some of my friends' husbands who spend just an exorbitant amount of time and preoccupation with entertainment and video games and the like, that I feel like really holds them back from building relationships as well as sometimes spending time with their families and even working.
Bethany, thank you for calling. It is so great to have that particular point made in a female voice, and I want to thank you for that. I also want to tell you there are men who share the concern. I'm one of them, by the way. Jim wrote in by email, and he cites, of course, the important biblical reminder that it's all right to be a child when you are a child, but when you become a man, where to put childish things behind us. He then says, young men become adults when they no longer live for amusements. Men are at their best when they are serving and providing for others. And that's exactly right. The part about no longer living for amusements, you know, that's all right for a boy. And by the way, I would say it's not actually all right. I would say it's less problematic. As a father, I don't want my son just living for amusements, even as he is a teenager. I want to be living for something far higher than that. But at least the damage then is far less than when you see older young men who should be by this time taking on major responsibility, giving themselves only to amusements. It reminds me of the late Neil Postman, who said that we as Americans are literally amusing ourselves to death. And we see that all around us. Let's go to James calling from State College, Pennsylvania. Go ahead, James.
Yes, I would encourage young men not to believe the distortion that there's something barbaric about manly character qualities like courage and even physical strength and the willingness to defend women, that we really need to be ready to do that, that there's nothing wrong with it. Indeed, we're called to.
You know, James, I appreciate that. It reminds me of Henry Mansfield's book on manliness. You know, one of the saddest things about our demasculinized culture is exactly what you suggested, and that is there are people who think it's somehow wrong for men to be protective of women. And, you know, it reminds me of something very, very interesting that that I saw, and to avoid embarrassment to anyone personally, I'm just going to describe what I saw and what I heard. I was in a situation in which there was a feminist present who was making the point that she believed that men and women were exactly equal, that they were exactly the same and should be treated exactly the same. And I'll never forget one of the men turning to her and saying, all right, you're walking down the street and you hear footsteps behind you and you see you're about to be attacked. Who do you want to show up, a man or a woman, to help? Now, that is just, of course, it would be the right man or the right woman in this situation. But the point is that there is a certain protective role that men have that that virtually everyone recognizes when they have to. And we used to live in a civilization that cultivated that in boys and men. You know, they used to have to read stories and recite poems that had to do with manhood. Horatio at the bridge. Now it's a very different picture. And I think you're exactly right, James. You know, I don't want, it would be pathetic. I don't want to have anything to do with a man who'd be the first in the lifeboat. You know, just to get back to a classic historical incident, you know, if on the Titanic you see the men in the lifeboat, even when they made the movie Titanic in this very feminized day, they couldn't make it look right for men to get first in the lifeboats. There's something about a moral instinct there, and that's something that ought to point to what's more than instinct. It's a matter of honor. What would you say to a group of young men tonight? What would you say they should aim for? I give them 13 different marks in my little book, From Boy to Man. That's more than we can cover in one conversation, but I think it'll be really, really helpful for me to share with them what you share with us. Give me a call, 877-893-8255. You're listening coast to coast to the Albert Mueller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mueller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. We're talking about what we would say to a group of Christian young men. And I'm going to have that opportunity tonight. I'm looking forward to it. It's kind of a late night event. I'm going to be with a few hundred Christian young men here on this campus. It's going to be a fun discussion. I've done this off and on about once a year. I also published a little booklet entitled From Boy to Man, 13 Marks of the Development of a Boy into a Man from a Christian and Biblical Worldview Perspective. We'll put a link up, by the way, to that material for today's program if you'd like to download that. But rather than kind of go through my points and the points that I'll make tonight, I wanted to hear what you would have to say. We're going to get to some calls in just a minute. The phone number again is 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. One of the points I make over and over again is that you find out who the men are because they show up for action, ready, and with the right convictions, with the right character at the right time. You know, and sometimes that's where it happens. You look who's on the field of battle at the right time, ready, fighting for the right things. That's where the men are. You look where someone's in need and who's there to make the provision. That's where the man is. And there are an awful lot of younger men in particular who've never tasted that. They've never tasted what that feels like. They've never seen it. Too many of them didn't have dads who did that. And, you know, I was talking to someone the other day, and he said to me, this is something, by the way, I want to say in honor to my dad. My dad taught me how to fix all kinds of things. And that's one of the things a man knows how to do. He knows how to do stuff. And this young husband said to me, he said, you know, my wife looks to me to be able to fix things. I don't know how to fix anything. So he's going to fix the fact that he doesn't know how to fix anything. And you know what? What he told me is, it's a lot of fun. And indeed it is. There's nothing like going to fix something where you solve somebody's problem. That's where a man shows up, and that's a lot of fun. To protect the defenseless, to nurture those who need nurture, to befriend those who need a friend. This is really important stuff. By the way, just to give you a little echo of this, I had a 16-year-old young man who wrote in. James wrote in and said, I am 16, and I find the greatest way of learning is by going downtown and preaching the gospel. You find all those sorts of beliefs and learn how to battle them. Well, you know, I got to tell you what, if you're 16 years old and you're going downtown to preach the gospel, you're getting out in the fray. In terms of the gospel of Christ, you're going to grow up real fast. I think that's already evident in this young man. I appreciate very much the fact that he wrote us at Facebook. Let's get to your phone calls, 877-893-8255. Bruce is listening on XM170, calling from Union, Missouri. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yes, sir, Dr. Mueller. I'm the father of two daughters, now both graduated from college, and I've always stressed to them to ask three questions when they look at a young man. First, is he a man of faith? Second, is he a man of integrity? And third, does he have a good heart? And those are essentials. Those are absolutes. After that, everything else is particulars they have to decide if they can live with. But the first three are must.
You know, that's absolutely true, Bruce. And one of the things I do when I'm speaking to Christian young people, and more often I have to speak pointedly to the younger men than the younger women when it comes to marriage, but they'll often ask me from both sides, who do I know I'm supposed to marry? How do I know who I'm supposed to marry? And I always point out that situation is a whole lot easier than it looks, because it's very tempting to think, all right, there's an entire human race out there somewhere buried in this mass of billions of someone I'm supposed to marry, and that's simple nonsense. If you're a woman, you're supposed to marry a man. That cuts down the population by at least half. If you're a Christian young woman, you're to marry a Christian young man. That's going to cut down the population considerably. And if you believe in a God who rules over the universe and whose providence for us is for our good, then we're going to find ourselves in proximity to the person we are supposed to marry. And then you have to have some kind of criteriology, and I think, Bruce, yours is very good. I would simply say, let's be real clear. When you say a man of faith, you mean a man of Christian faith. And that sounds like a very good place to start. And as the father of a daughter myself, let me tell you, Bruce, I'm sharing your thinking about that. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky. Linda's listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Linda.
Good evening, Dr. Moeller. I found a copy of my grandfather's pocket New Testament that he carried in World War I. And there's a little note from General Pershing. It says, "Let your valor as a soldier and your conduct as a man be an inspiration to your comrades and an honor to your country." Pershing, August 10, 1917. Courage.
Linda, I like that. That's really powerful. And you know, the first thing I think of when I hear that, I think, you know, those are young men who would have appreciated that message from Black Jack, the illustrious General Pershing. But it also reminds me of the fact that the word that he used there, man, has become so politically problematic. You know, the word manliness is now almost useless in many sectors of this society. And I think, again, of Harvey Mansfield's book, Manliness. He's a professor at Harvard University. He wrote the book, and the very fact that he wrote a book and entitled it Manliness just made him the topic of all kinds of attack and ridicule and caricature and all the rest. But, you know, when General Pershing wrote that and that inscription found in a New Testament for a soldier, he wrote it back when the world had a clear understanding of what manhood was all about. Now, it wasn't a perfect understanding. There's some things we actually understand better now, and in particular, Christians understand that there's a far deeper understanding to manhood than only fighting where fighting is necessary, and only protecting where protecting is necessary, and only showing up with the right kind of manly character. It's also a sense of mission for the glory of God in this world. We understand that every single Christian man is made a man, not by accident, not by some kind of fluke of the evolutionary process, but by a sovereign God who said, I am making you as a man. You are, you're thus responsible to find my glory, and in my glory you will find your greatest good. And that's the Christian aspiration. It better be. Thanks so much for your call, Linda. I had another mom or potentially wife who wrote in here, and it is a very, very interesting. She identifies herself as a wife and a mother, Christian wife and a mother. This is what she says. I love this. She says that there are too many Christian men who are confused because they are told that they are to be nice. I think this is a great insight from a wife and a mom. You know, niceness, she says and implies here, is kind of a word that fits a lot of situations, but it doesn't fit where men need to show up and be men. She says this. She said, the failure of followers of Christ to speak truth into the culture leaves families defenseless, and no less so is it harmful to the very men and women who practice such sensuality and sin and all the rest. They'll attract the same devastating results that they encourage. In other words, there are people who say it's not nice. She says, speaking of her own family, she said, you know, it's not nice to confront people with the truth, not by our contemporary postmodern confusions about nice. It isn't nice. And she uses the right word here. She said, good. She said, my deep desire in Christ for young men is to help raise and nurture an inheritance for Christ is for them. Says here, to strive to be God's good. She put that in quotation marks in the world rather than just nice. Being primarily nice certainly hurts men and boys. Now, guys, I'm not saying go out and don't be nice. I'm just saying you got to be not less than nice, but more than nice. And sometimes you got to do things that certain people are going to say aren't nice because, you know, they are necessary and urgent and good and righteous. Righteous is better than nice. Back of final thoughts. You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. This has been a fantastic discussion. I want to thank you for it. It's been very helpful to me as I think about meeting these young guys tonight. I received a very quick request by email saying, you've talked about your 13 marks. Just give them. So let me just read them. I'll just kind of share them with you. It's found in my book, From Boy to Man, The Marks of Manhood. You can find it again at albertmueller.com. Just go to today's program, and you'll find the link right to the material there. The booklet's available also from us if you give us a call and contact. Number one, a boy becomes a man when he demonstrates, again, number one, spiritual maturity sufficient to lead a wife and children. Secondly, personal maturity sufficient to be a responsible husband and father. Third, economic maturity sufficient to hold an adult job and handle money. Four, physical maturity sufficient to work and protect a family. Fifth, sexual maturity sufficient to marry and fulfill God's purposes. Six, moral maturity sufficient to lead as an example of righteousness. Seventh, ethical maturity sufficient to make responsible decisions. Eight, worldview maturity sufficient to understand what is really important. Nine, relational maturity sufficient to understand and respect others. 10, social maturity sufficient to make a contribution to society. 11, verbal maturity sufficient to communicate and articulate as a man. 12, character maturity sufficient to demonstrate courage under fire. And 13th, biblical maturity sufficient to lead at some level in the church. I believe in every one of those. I'm sure more could be said, and I'm sure that something is missing there, but I am confident that all 13 of those particular marks actually do define biblical manhood. And, you know, it just reminds me of something that a mom said to me in the last few days. She said, you know, she said, I read your book, and I tried to have a conversation with my son about it, but he had a hard time even answering the questions. That gets to the fact that a boy has to develop verbal maturity in order to have a conversation. And it's just a reminder that this is all of a package. And dads out there, you know, get on it. There's a big job. And no one said it's going to be easy. I'm the last to say this is easy. If it was easy, no one would need to encourage us to do it. But we've got to encourage each other to be about this task. I'll look forward to that conversation tonight, and perhaps I'll have the opportunity to share from you about it. But this much is clear. You have generously given me a lot to take to them. We're going to come back tomorrow to talk about the article I posted today at albertmiller.com. We're going to be talking about Tom Krautenmacher's words about the Bible and why it's important. We're going to talk tomorrow about the fact that if we haven't heard from God and we can't trust the Bible, we really don't have anything to talk about. Thanks for listening to the Albert Miller Program. I'll see you tomorrow for Intelligent Christian Conversation.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmoeller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmoeller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Moeller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.